The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
You were hearing all this week that another flotilla interception of a Gaza-bound flotilla occurred. And my first guest this morning was, in fact, part of the medical boat which supported the flotilla. It was made up of doctors and nurses bringing medical supplies to Gaza and also providing medical care for flotilla activists in the event of any misadventure occurring. Well, she joins me on the line. Maureen Alma, good morning.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Can you tell us about your role in this latest flotilla?
Yes, I was selected to go with the doctors to Gaza as a medic on the family boat. The family boat was at the back of the fleet to support the boats that were sailing in front of us. The boat carried roughly 20 doctors, nurses, and other medics, medical aid, and the Al Jazeera crew from Turkey, and also a Turkish captain and crew.
Now, what happened to your boat? Because in the event you were not abducted or interfered with by the Israelis?
Correct. So during the very first, we heard over the radio that the first boat had been intercepted. And at that time, for some reason, something caught in the propeller of our boat, which it was not a sailboat, it was a big motorboat, and it rendered the boat unable to continue. The engine had ceased.
So you were actually marooned and had to be rescued by the Turkish Coast Guard in the end?
Correct, correct.
Now, when you read or heard of the accounts of what happened to the other people on the flotilla who'd been intercepted by the Israelis, the abuse and so on, were you surprised based on your own previous experience?
I was surprised at the extent of the violence, because even though it was a traumatic interception on the last flotilla, there were no rubber bullets used, and it does not seem as though it was as violent as what was portrayed this time.
And why do you think that is, that this interception was more violent than previous ones?
Because Israel acts with complete impunity. Nobody holds Israel accountable for the atrocities they are perpetrating against Palestine. This was under the eye of the world, so you can imagine how much worse it is for Palestinians.
Now, the question of why flotillas keep trying to get through to Gaza when it's almost inevitable what will happen. There'll be an interception by the Israelis, people will be made prisoner, people might be abused, and ultimately they will be sent home. And you have to ask yourself, to what effect?
Well, first of all, the governments are not doing anything to end the illegal blockage of aid flowing into Gaza. So that's the reason people mobilize, is to try and assist the Palestinians with their need for aid. Secondly, it brings attention to the Palestinian cause. I did not sail for the sake of sailing. I sail for the sake of this being a people movement to highlight the atrocities that are going on in Palestine.
Now, you have succeeded in bringing this to the world's attention. Even in the United States, they've taken notice of the actions of Israel and the antics of its minister when people were made prisoner. You've succeeded in that, but will it have any more lasting effect, do you think?
Well, I guess the answer to that is we will keep doing flotillas until there is lasting effect. But I would hope after this episode and the live streaming of the minister in his atrocity towards the flotilla personnel. I would hope now that governments would realize that sanctions need to be taken.
So that,
that Israel will be held accountable.
So ultimately, that is the result you're hopeful of, with repeated flotillas, and these will continue until such action is taken by the international community.
Correct.
Maureen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, and free Palestine.
Now, aside from these flotilla efforts to highlight the plight of the Palestinian people, has Brussels either the legal mechanisms or the political appetite to use economic leverage in response to the war in Gaza and the activities of Israel? Well, Europe correspondent Seán Murray is on the line, and also Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil MEP for Dublin. Seán, good morning and welcome. First of all, tell us, what is the appetite in Brussels to do something? Because the world is outraged at the impunity of the Israelis.
The appetite is for to continue doing nothing, essentially, because I mean, I would say that from a Brussels perspective, maybe the European Commission and the EU foreign policy chief do recognise what is happening in Gaza, the West Bank. There's been quite a lot of announcements, but and there is opportunity for from a legal perspective to do something, but that is being blocked. So if you look at two of the things that are on the table, that's the suspension of the EU-Israel Association Agreement, which would be trade sanctions against Israel. For that to pass, even part of that Israel-EU Association Agreement to pass, requires qualified majority vote, which is 15 out of 27 countries representing 65% of the EU's population. So in order for that to pass, either Italy or Germany have to support it. And both of those countries have been blocking that for well over a year. So that's out of the picture. The second way of doing it is sanctioning individual ministers like Ben-Gvir, Smotrich and so on. That requires unanimity because it's an arm of foreign policy, which is something that member states have full competence over. And in that case, Italy, Germany, Austria, Hungary under Orban, Bulgaria, Romania, the Czech Republic have all blocked that. So they don't pass either. So the issue has been stuck.
Okay, two things. One, can individual countries under whatever domestic laws they have sanction individuals, be they West Bank settlers or named Israeli politicians?
Well, some countries, for example, the Netherlands, Spain, Slovenia have said that the of Smotrich, Ben-Gvir and other ministers are persona non grata. And obviously, then they're obligated to arrest Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant if they ever step foot into European territory or their country's territory. But no, sanctions are an EU policy, so they have to do. They're part of foreign policy, so they have to be done unanimously. So that's out on an individual basis. The other thing that countries can do, and Belgium, the Netherlands, and Slovenia have done this. They've employed their own occupied territories bill, and some of them even gone further. For example, Belgium not only doesn't allow goods in from settlement areas, but it refuses to give consular service to Belgians who are living in occupied territories. And they've done that within the realm of EU law.
Okay, so there are things that can
Indeed.
Be done. And I'll talk to Barry in a moment about what Ireland might do in addition to what it's attempting to do with the Occupied Territories Bill in its limited form. The second point that you made, though, is about the blocking by big countries with big populations, because that influences the 65% majority figure. Is it kind of guilt on the part of countries that were thoroughly fascist during the war when the Jews were being persecuted? Is that at the heart of German reservations and equally those of Italy?
That's what the Germans say consistently. And I've had this conversation so many times with German diplomats that they would say, you know, the raison d'etre of Germany is to protect Israel and Jewish people. But at the same time, you hear Friedrich Merz, the German chancellor, last year, he said that he could no longer understand the justification for the IDF's policy in Gaza, because obviously even a year ago, Gaza was completely destroyed, and as was Hamas. And at that stage, the hostages were being released. He talked about the humanitarian situation, as has Vadeful, the foreign minister. So they recognise the situation being just catastrophic and in breach of international law. But from a political perspective, even when Friedrich Merz decided that they would no longer supply some arms to the Israeli military because they're continuing arming the Israeli military, there was a huge backlash against his own party, the CDU in Germany. So it's political reasons. And then another German diplomat told me once that, I mean, what's the point in us trying to do anything to Israel now? The Trump administration will target us even more. So they don't want, they fear the backlash of the United States, which I think is a fair enough point because even the Irish government is clearly worried that there will be some sort of consequences for Ireland implementing the Israel, the occupied territories bill. And it has happened in Belgium as well. I mean, they've come under pressure from the Americans. The US ambassador to Belgium is consistently attacking the Belgian foreign affairs minister, Maxime Prevot, calling him anti-Semitic. So there is interference from the United States against countries who've employed this, but they've done it anyway. And there hasn't been any, let's say, consequences in terms of, let's say, the businesses taking their business elsewhere. It's just been that there has been some political backlash. But yeah, that's what the Germans consistently say. But at the same time, the argument is always put back to them saying, well, you know, the whole policy of Germany was never again when it comes to genocide. You are a signature to the Genocide Convention. You're a signature to the International Criminal Court. Yet Friedrich Merz went to Tel Aviv to meet Benjamin Netanyahu because he couldn't bring Netanyahu to Berlin because obviously he'd have to arrest him, which is circumventing international law. So sure, there is obviously a double standard there.
Now, the final thing, it's a more broad point, I suppose, that we all imagine as members of the EU and as part of Europe, even though we're on the westerly most tip of Europe, we all imagine that we subscribe to the European ideal. You know, we're liberal, we're tolerant. And yet we allow Israel to do what it does. It's not to be anti-Semitic, it's to be anti the activities of Netanyahu and his cronies. That's what it is. But why are we allowed to be targeted as being anti-Semitic when in fact we are anti the activities of one particular government?
But that is obviously a clear question. I mean, I know people who have said, who've worked in the Commission, for example, where countries have said to Irish staff, why are the Irish so anti-Semitic? Because there is a sort of a propaganda that this is about anti-Semitism. And we go, you know, you hear things like, well, Eamon de Valera, you know, gave his condolences when Hitler died, all this sort of stuff about Ireland, this propaganda that this is about anti-Semitism and not about humanity. And it's just pure propaganda, and it's quite a lot of it is ignorance, but it is something that does emerge. There's also, from an Eastern European perspective, because you see a lot of the Eastern European countries are either silent on this or defend Israel. And for example, countries like Lithuania and them, they receive a lot of important intelligence from Israel in relation to Russian and Belarusian hybrid attacks against those countries. So they feel like they are sort of obliged to defend Israel or at least stay silent. So there are other sort of issues at play here as well, given the ongoing situation in Ukraine and the Russian aggression as well.
Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, thank you very much for joining us. Listening to that conversation, Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil MEP for Dublin. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what's happening with Europe's attitude to Israel's activities? And we all know that Israel suffered grossly on October the 7th, and we can go back into the history of all of that. But it is Israel's activities in more recent times that have dismayed so many people who are members of the EU, citizens and governments alike. Why is the EU so powerless in trying to condemn Israel?
Well, frankly, I think Shona was crystal clear about the obstacles to EU action. The president of the Commission, President von der Leyen, said that Israel's behavior in Gaza amounted to a man-made famine. And for a conservative German to make that statement back in September made everybody think, OK, well, maybe the European Union is going to do something. But unfortunately, as Shona made clear, the way the European Union works is that either unanimity is required in foreign policy or qualified majority in relation to trade measures. And that's really the obstacle. So it boils down to Germany and Italy. Now, Italy is beginning to show some cracks a little bit. And the question then arises as to whether Germany is prepared to stand alone as the single obstacle to an approach that would be effective in Israel. But my recent visit to the West Bank confirmed my view that the only way we will be able to influence Israeli policy is through trade measures to force the Israeli government to choose between the policies that it's pursuing in the West Bank or to protect the Israeli economy. But currently we're not putting that pressure on them, so they don't have to make that choice.
But given that Israel survives and thrives on the basis of American money, any deficits that might accrue from the economy in Israel being targeted will probably be made up for by the United States.
The European Union is Israel's biggest trading partner. So there's no question of doubt that they are not experiencing any pressure whatsoever, so long as they have tariff-free and quota-free access to the single market. And what the advocates for the suspension of the trade elements of the association agreement argue is that once you put tariffs on that, or you suspend the agreement, then you will force a very difficult economic situation on Israel. So I don't accept the view that it would be ineffective. I think it would be hugely effective. I think the sanctions are effective as well, on individuals and on individual entities. So I think this is a key point. But the other issue then, of course, and separate to suspending the association agreement, is the question of the trade with settlements, which is very difficult. I know the government has said that it's going to bring this forward in the next few weeks, and I think that's really, really important that they do that. One of the things I saw when I was over there is that there's a huge practice of mislabeling what is a product of the settlements as being a product of Israel. So I brought this up with the High Representative Vice President Kallas during the week in Strasbourg, and her view was that it was impossible for the European Union to be able to distinguish between settlement goods and goods from Israel. So this is something that I've encouraged Minister McEntee to bring up directly with the Commission. It's really not good enough that's the excuse. So we'll have to see how practically the Occupied Territories Bill can be implemented in due course.
Now, it's extraordinary that when we do reporting on the flotillas and the reaction of Israel and so on, a huge number of people who text in seem to be on the side of the Israelis. Israeli illegal actions re-flotilla was unacceptable, but let's stop this nonsense that they were trying to get aid to Gaza. They were looking for media and political attention and knew what was going to happen. 100% success rate in achieving their aims. Ben Gavir also achieved his aims re the flotilla, playing to his extreme right-wing audience. Another one, the anti-Israeli flotilla members get a free ride. Nothing but virtually signalling narcissistic Hamas-loving circus. And then a final one for the moment. What does it say when the EU does not, as a group, agree with our obsessive focus on Israel? And that's really one for you, Barry, the question of Ireland being singled out as having an obsession with Israel's behaviour and the rest of Europe being less concerned.
No. The first text that you read out there was correct. It is about getting attention, and it is about putting this issue back on the agenda, because it had slipped off the agenda even before the war in Iran. The ceasefire in Gaza had diverted a huge amount of attention away from what's happening both in Gaza and in the West Bank. So I'm not an activist, I won't be on the flotilla, but I welcome the fact that it has brought this back onto the agenda. On the second point, I was invited by the Holocaust Memorial group to light a candle at the Holocaust Memorial in January, and I did that, and I've done it before, and I was on the board of that group before, and I've absolutely reject the idea that criticism of the Israeli government's behaviour in the West Bank it can be conflated with a bias towards Jewish people and specifically anti-Semitism. I absolutely reject that. And this is something that happens all the time. And the final point, Pat, is that Ireland is one of nine countries that is pushing the European Commission to bring forward a proposal to ban trade with illegal settlements in the West Bank. So we're not isolated. It has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. I very much applaud the flotilla for putting this issue back on the agenda.
Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil MEP for Dublin. Thank you very much, Barry, for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.